Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
What would you do if the ocean vanished, only to come rushing back towards you as a 30-foot wall of water? In this season of Against the Odds, relive four extraordinary stories of survival during the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami, the deadliest on record. Listen to Against the Odds on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today on BravoCon Eve, it's the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hi, Ben. How are you, hon?
I am thrilled and excited. I'm going to my very, very first BravoCon tomorrow. You've been before, but I've never been. I'm a BravoCon virgin. I'm so excited. I went around, shopped for outfits and looks, and we are really excited. In case you missed the announcement earlier this week, we are doing a Watch What Crappens party. That's going to be in Las Vegas on Saturday night at Beer Park. It's at 10 p.m., so there will be no conflicts with anything. Come join for a fun party that should go for hours and hours. We'll have special cocktails. We'll have special cocktails. We'll have Jenny's ice cream. You know, there's no Jenny's store in all of Las Vegas, so get your Jenny's ice cream at our party. By the way, it's also all free. This is not a thing you have to pay. There's no tickets or anything. Just show up and have fun.
We all have a great time.
You got to buy your booze, yeah. But entry is free. But let's
get people too excited over there. Penises cost money extra. Okay. You will be paying for whatever penises are available.
You will be paying for the penises, but Beer Park is in the Paris Casino, which is right close to all sorts of things. And we're going to have a great time and we'll just like go hang out and we'll swap stories about everything we've seen and done that weekend. So come join us for that. We are so excited. Also, this weekend on Sunday afternoon, we are moderating our very first ever panel at BravoCon. We are moderating the Next Gen New York City panel. So definitely come by and, you know, ask some good questions because we'll be ready for it. You'll get hop on that mic. We're really excited to see everyone at BravoCon. So that's all the BravoCon news. And of course, the usual news, which is that this recap is available on Patreon. We did a bonus episode this week where we did a trailer trash of Beverly Hills trailer that I think is coming out tomorrow. And patreon.com/watchforcrappens. And that's the full shmageggy. Wow. That's it. Now we have a Salt Lake City episode. What an episode to power us into BravoCon. I feel like Meredith Marks is going to, she's going to be fielding a lot of questions this weekend, and it's going to be real interesting to see how this all pans out. What say you, Rondell Karam?
Good episode.
Crazy. I thought it was the best this season.
I mean, there was so much. Have we ever seen two housewives sit down and talk about how they're going to fuck other people on their old ass husbands? I don't think we have.
I thought that scene was extraordinary, actually.
I thought it was a great scene. I was like, wow, that was interesting. I can't believe they're being so honest.
Yeah, it was a very honest scene.
I mean, they weren't really that honest, let's face it. But they were doing that thing like if you're a cokehead and you're looking for somebody else to do coke with, you're usually like, yeah, you know, I don't really like that. And then you wait to see if they're like, I do. And then they pull it out and you're like, me too. And then you go do coke together. That was what these two were doing with each other. They're like, you got extra dick? No, I would never. And if I did, I would talk to my husband first. You got extra dick? Oh, well, no, of course not. I would. Now, that time I did get extra dick was amazing. I love getting extra dick. Wait, you get extra dick? No, I didn't say that. I said, if I could get extra. Yeah, I would never get extra. I'm getting extra dick. I was like, you two are getting extra dick. Just say you're getting extra dick. You might as well at this point just bring out the penis. And I loved it. I thought it was great because I think it happens in so many more marriages than we think. And, you know, as a gay person, I always think, is this just a gay thing that I think it's Because, you know, gay people are like, I got some extra dick. Hey, how you doing today? Good. I got some extra dick. What'd you do? Got some extra dick. You know, that's how we are. But it's especially on a show like this, you don't hear that often. So I wonder if it's always gay people. But those straight people are just on the bandwagon these days, especially in Utah.
So we're just going to ignore the innovations of Countess Luann de Lesseps. Fine, Ronnie. I mean, she was doing this years ago.
Well, that's true, but even she did it this way first. She was like, I would never get extra dick. I've got so much God, I got extra dick the whole time, you know.
I thought the scene was remarkable. First of all, I thought this was the best episode of the season. I thought it had like the campiness, but it also had some really genuine, real things. It had controversy. But I thought that the scene with Bronwyn and Whitney was remarkable. Not even because they were talking about getting extra dick. It was remarkable because it felt like a very real conversation. It felt like they weren't hitting beats for producers. And it's not like I feel like these conversations are all super scripted, but there's a cadence to like these Real Housewives conversations. And this one did not have that cadence. This felt like two girlfriends chatting and like sharing and bonding. I felt like they were truly connecting over something, and we were just watching them, and they were seemed excited to have this commonality and excited to trade notes and to sort of like they were checking in with each other. And I thought it was actually such a real moment that I was like, this is kind of amazing to watch right now. Like, regardless, they could have been talking about, like, you know, picking out a Swiffer from the store, and I still would have, I think, had the same reaction.
They were talking about picking out a Fupa from the store, you know, or sharing your Fupa with other people, you know, Todd's Fupa.
Let's be honest. I'm always going to be more excited to talk about Swiffers than almost anything in the world. But I just thought it was actually really compelling TV to watch these two people find, like, Whitney and Bronwyn, like, I never really see them as being like that close. And they had this moment that I thought was like really cool to watch.
Well, they will be now. That's all you need is a commonality. You know, I don't mean it like that. But I don't mean it like that. I just mean, you know, that commonality you find with somebody. It's like once you like share dick, it's just like a club you're in.
You're in the club.
Like, we both like share dick. So boom, we're on the same WhatsApp.
It was also a masterful way of Bronwyn to tackle a rumor and diffuse it in like the span of a minute. Like, that's the sort of rumor that takes over an entire season. And instead, it just got sort of consumed by a larger controversy about a fight on an airplane because she addressed it. And then she was like, I would have been fine if he had told me, you know, and then it turned into a whole other story. So she did a kind of an amazing job.
And if you're kind of reading between the lines of what she's saying, it's like, oh, okay, well, this puts everything into context for the season, right? Because it's like, Todd was seen making out with this woman. Todd's doing this. Todd's doing that. It's like, oh, okay, so he was this whole time. And it's just that you knew. It's one of those things like, you can do whatever you want, but don't make me look stupid, which I think is the basic rule in relationships like that. And Todd is just fucking that up left and right.
But you can do whatever you want. Just don't make me look stupid. Now, excuse me, I'm going to change into a hot dog outfit.
Don't make me look stupid while I'm in an inflatable dolphin costume on TV, throwing someone's talking unicorn overboard. Okay. But it also puts into context a lot of the storylines we get on this show, because Utah, as we've learned from ye olde television, is the swing in place. You know, everybody's like, oh my God, the religion. Now we've got Heather Gay's Mormon show and the traumatizing religion and all of that. And, you know, all of this religion. So everyone thinks of it like that, but shared dick. That's their state flower, is a shared dick, because it's all over the Mormon.
Their state deflower.
Because it's all over the Mormon secret lives of Mormon wives. You know, there's that whole swinging scandal. But also, this, a lot of people online are like, they're just stealing this from the secret lives. No, ma'ams. We are stealing this from this own show, because this show started out with allegations of Meredith having and Jen Shaw sharing the same guy that they were both fucking in New York. So, and then obviously Seth is getting caught today doing whatever and whatever with an Uber. So it seems like this is just kind of a swing in town and everybody's doing it, you know, and
oh my God! Something's happening to my chair. What is happening back there? How dare you say that there are allegations of me cheating? I'm going to shake your chair and protest.
Yeah, but that shit's been around forever. Oh, God, don't even. And then we'll get into the plane stuff, too, which, you know, of course, I'm going to get yelled at by the entire internet. But
I can't wait to hear what your take is. I don't think
you'll be surprised.
I haven't settled on my take, I'm going to say. I've been trying to think it through. I mean, I'd love to hear your insight. Everyone get ready for some classic Ben Mandelker rambling as I work through my feelings later in the episode.
Yes. Also, go check out a couple things Ben has done on the internet, which we haven't mentioned yet on this show, but you did a really funny BravoCon video, which harkens back to your classics of 2 years ago when I was at BravoCon and you weren't, and instead made a video series about not being at BravoCon, which was really good. And that is up now on our Instagram, and I'm assuming your personal Instagram. And also, he did a really funny cartoon for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this season, which was great. Because your cartoons are always good, but this was all new characters for you. You know, this was like the Orange County cast, which is new for you. And Golden is like a best of all your jokes shoved in that cartoon. So it's really good.
Thanks,
so
go Ronnie. Check those
things out. And I'm sorry, so sweet I haven't mentioned you. Them before. Also, Ben has a giant wiener. So congratulations to Ben on that.
I'll be debuting my new OnlyFans this weekend. Sneak peek at the Watch What Crappens party. So another reason why you have to come to it. Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you. That was so unnecessary.
Yeah, of course. Thanks. Oh, and you know what? While we're plugging people, sorry to make yours less special, but we keep forgetting to do this too. We've done it before, but we're having our meetup. But also, Amy Phillips is doing Cabaret Me at BravoCon. Yeah. She's doing it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's such a good show. She's such a funny chick. You've got to go see her do it. I saw it last BravoCon. We will be there at some point, you know, this time to go check her out. She's such a good performer, a great comic, and she does great impersonations. She's going to be at Planet Hollywood Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Just search Cabaret Me. That's how I found tickets. Mm-hmm. Or you can find link in bio on her her Instagram, which is Amy Phillips. Okay, so go to Amy Phillips.
Meet Amy Phillips, Meet Amy Phillips.
Oh, Meet Amy Phillips on Instagram. Yeah, go get tickets for that because it's really, really funny. And we'll see you there, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I would say, like, thank you for the props on the cartoon and the social media video. Those are just, like, fun things because I sometimes just like to be creative. But, like, more importantly, people support Amy Phillips. She has been a great friend to us, and she's helped us out. She subbed in when both of us were vacationing over the summer, and she's wonderful, but more importantly, she's also like a great person and she's very funny. So go check out her show.
Yeah. Good chick. Okay. Support good chicks.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Women supporting women. Okay.
Wow. Women supporting women. Okay. So
let's talk about a show where women are always supporting women. Salt Lake City.
Well, this was kind of a women supporting women episode in a weird roundabout way because the women did support Britney. And Britney's not the easiest one to support, you know? Mm-mm.
No, she's not.
Okay, let's get going. So here we are, Heather's Yacht Trip, day 3. Daisy is doing her normal intense thing where she's way too intense walking around as the Chiefs do, like with her radio where she's like, okay, Captain, all right, Captain Jason, all right, everybody, we're doing it. We're doing it right now. All right, listen, 10 o'clock is breakfast, 9 o'clock is yoga. We've got it? Have we got it? Have we got it? Is everybody there? Daisy, calm down. This is the first thing in the morning. She's like fiddling with her thing like she's talking to the president of the Secret Service, president of the United States. Like, calm down. For Christ's sake.
The eagle has landed. It's like an actual eagle. She's actually like bringing in an actual eagle. We do everything on a yacht. No question is too big. So Heather is like, so doing this yoga and Heather's like, luxury to me generally doesn't include athleisure, but this is a yoga session in a sisterhood that I could really get behind, if you know what I mean, behind, like I would be behind. It's sort of weird. I guess in this analogy, I would be, tagging Captain Jason. I don't know. It gets kinky. It gets wild. So he tells us to breathe and we're going to breathe. He tells us to bend and we're going to bend. He tells us to dive deep into the world of Mormonism and trying to save people. And God damn it, I will have a surviving Mormonism spinoff. It will happen.
I'm excited to see his downward dog. I'm hoping he'll warrior all the way over to me and inside of me and through me because I've totally fucked Captain Chase.
Shut up, Heather. Okay, so Heather was on Watch What Happens Live. And Andy's like, okay, well, Andy. So it's Andy. So he's like, well, Heather, we just had Captain Jason on and he said that he did not sleep with you. And she's like, what? He said that? I can't believe it. Well, I guess that should be a warning to whoever hooks up with Captain Jason that this is how he's going to deny it on TV. And so Andy goes, so what did you do with Captain Jason? She's like, nothing. But, what? You know, it's just so Heather. She's like, nothing, except we did go on, you know, we were doing press together and he did guide us through the outback, you know, guided us through lots of different experiences. So it's a typical Heather thing where she's insinuating something and claiming another thing. It's Heather and her black eye lie over and over again on this show. And for anybody who falls for anything that Heather says, you're crazy. Have you seen the show? This woman does nothing but fucking lie every season, all season. But she does it with a big shit eating grin on her face. And everybody believes everything that she says. Do you think that she fucked Captain Jason? What do you think?
No, I don't think so. Also, raise your hand if you're the person in America who cares if they did. Like, who is tracking this rumor? Who is like waiting with bated breath to find out more juicy details? Like, if they did, I don't care. I don't think they did, and I still don't care. Like, I just like, why? Like, yeah, I feel like she's trying to drum this up, but like, I don't really see her. I don't really see her getting with Captain Jason, quite frankly.
Yeah, and it's not like she's not good enough or it's not anything like that. It's just the way she tells these stories. You know, it's the insinuation and the wink to the audience. Like, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I don't care.
That kid in drama
club. Just stop
club.
Talking about it and stop asking her about it. I'll bet that's going to be a big thing all weekend. Like, did they or didn't they? I don't care.
There's this girl I used to know out here who was like, you know, she was not very attractive. I'm going to say this right. I feel like it's part of the story. She's not that attractive. And every time you saw her, she was always talking about a bartender who was like totally into her. She's like, oh my God, I was just at Drago downtown. Matt. Yeah. He's like the chief bartender. He's totally into me. And I'm like, okay, unprofessional. And she would always say this. And I'm not saying that a guy wouldn't be
okay,
into her.
Okay, unprofessional. Just pour my drink.
But she was always saying that. And by the way, I'm not implying that Heather is unattractive. I'm saying that like, this, I was like, we know this isn't true. And you keep on telling these stories like you don't have to do this. And now I feel bad. Now I feel like I've made it sound like I'm saying that I feel like I'm calling Heather like out of Captain Jason's league. And I'm not doing that at all. I'm just saying it's like sometimes you can tell when someone's just sort of like whipping up a story and it's like, not like we know you're not telling the truth and we don't even really care either way. So why are you doing this to yourself?
Yeah. Like obviously it's not looks. I mean, Heather's a good looking woman. I mean, she's on a TV show being a good looking woman. I mean, it's not, that's not even.
Yeah. And she looks amazing.
But her personality is a girl who's always trying to fit in. She's always, you know, trying to be with the cool kids, you know, like the cool, here I am at the cool kids table. You know, she's always trying to tell some story that includes her in that. And it's just so cringy. It's always been part of her personality. But, oh, and even if you did bang Captain Jason, who does that? Captain Jason's fucked like 30 people on Bravo. Everybody knows he's a man whore, you know, like, so I wouldn't doubt it in that way. But the thing is, like, even if you are fucking, who does that? Just like, be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, so, have some couth.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Picture this. You're standing on the beach when you notice something strange. The horizon doesn't look right. At first, all you can see is a thin white line stretching as far as your eyes can see. Then the line starts to rise. But it's not the horizon at all. It's a wave, a 30-foot wall of water, and it's racing straight toward you. On the day after Christmas in 2004, a 9.1 magnitude earthquake hit off the coast of Indonesia, triggering a devastating tsunami. It struck Thailand without warning. No alarms, no cell phone alerts, no evacuation. In this season of Against the Odds, experience one of the deadliest natural disasters in history through the perspectives of those who did everything they could to survive. Follow Against the Odds on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Against the Odds, Tsunami in Thailand, early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
So they're doing yoga and Heather is asking Brittany how she feels. And she's like, well, I feel a bit sunburnt and I feel whiplash if that's what you're asking. You know, it's just hard, Heather, to answer your question because I don't know. It's just disproportionate. The amount of pylon I get for doing the exact same thing as everyone else, you know, recording everyone behind their backs, perpetually lying, boring everyone with the nonsense about Jared. I just get so much pylon for that. And everyone does the same thing.
Yeah, which, of course, I yelled at the TV. You just brought up someone's husband having an affair from a TikTok, you fucking ding dong. And then Heather called her out on it. She's like, yeah, but you just called someone out for their husband having an affair. It's not really the same thing, you know. So We see a shot of Meredith and Lisa in their bedroom last night talking. And Meredith is like, oh, she is disgusting. Really, truly, truly, really disgusting.
And for whatever reason, Lisa is like, she's somehow like reversed. Lisa Barlow is, she is like somehow, she's somehow like, turned around on the bed, like her feet are up by the pillow, her head is down. I was like, what happened to Lisa Barlow? And why are your dirty feet on your pillow right now? So Meredith is like, Brittany, she thinks it's really cute and funny, and she thinks she's a Disney princess. And you know what? She has the brain aptitude of one. That's right, Princess Jasmine, don't at me. I think you're dumb. And same goes for you.
I was kind of offended. Yeah, I was kind of offended too. I was like, excuse me, Belle did nothing but read books. The Little Mermaid may not have been the brightest, but she had a nice voice. You know, Sleeping Beauty took a lot of naps. I mean, she must have had a Kindle.
She slept all the way through high school. So I'm sorry. She's just not the brightest. She does not have brain cells. Let me tell you something about Cinderella. If she had brain cells, she would have gotten out of that fireplace many years before. I rest my case.
Smart people don't wear glass shoes. What's that?
So she goes, well, who was the person in Wizard of Oz who was, they were just like, if someone was missing their brain. That's what it is. I'm like, you can't call people stupid when you don't know who the Tin Man is.
You know, someone at NBCU is getting fired. Like, you failed your wicked marketing integration with Salt Lake City. She doesn't even know the Tin Man.
I know someone over there is like, excuse me, this is Wicked Week on Bravo.
I'm surprised that when she said, who is the one missing their brain, that they didn't just plug in Cynthia Erivo going, it's me. There should have been more Wicked stuff woven into this somehow, like a Defying Gravity or a just Defying Gravity, just different duets throughout the episode.
But the person missing their brain, that was the Tin Man. Yeah, I know him. He's been to Vida. He's been to the Tequila Lounge.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't go on like the opening trip because I was like, oh, Tin Man. Well, okay, well, she could be the Tin Woman. Anyone? All right. Well, and Whitney, she doesn't even bring this to me. She doesn't shut it down. She doesn't have a problem with it. She's not my friend. Suddenly, Meredith is very concerned about people not shutting things down, which is hilarious. So back up at yoga, Brittany is like, you know, I say something that I think is nice with good intentions, and it's this big freak out pylon. I mean, I think everyone knows it's like the classic Hallmark greeting card, which is happy birthday. TikTok says your husband's cheating on you. Like, I don't get it.
Your husband was something fucking somebody in an Uber. What do you want from me? It was just trying to be nice. Pylon.
I think you need to be prepared for a mountain of shit when you tell a woman in the sisterhood at dinner that her husband is cheating based on a TikTok.
And Whitney's like, you're ruining my zen.
So the downstairs, Bronwyn knocks on Meredith's door and she's holding the unicorn, which I believe is the unicorn just called Uni? They really are not.
I mean,
they're
calling it Uni. But I just want to point out that poor Brittany, like, she cannot get any respect, even by the crew on this boat because they're all doing yoga and she's the only one without a mat. She's like doing it straight on the
Captain Jason has to bring it over and she still has like her markings on from I think her zombie makeup last night. So she just looks crazy. And
her weave's a mess. I mean, she just looks poor thing. She really thing. She is more Scarecrow than Tin Man. She just looks
she's like
so
all
sad.
Of them. She's like the entire cast of the supporting characters. She's the lion. She's the Scarecrow. She's the Tin Man. She's maybe even a Poppy. I mean, yeah. She may be a brick from the road, you know.
Yeah, she's everything. The one that was crushed under a house. She's all of them.
She's a munchkin. She's the cow in the tornado flying by. She's the whole gang.
Lord.
So Bronwyn's like, Meredith, I come bearing gifts. I've got You Need the Unicorn. She's well, that's a gift I can do without, Bronwyn. I hate to be like ungrateful and gracious for it, but you may not realize it, but I'm having a fight right now and I'm talking it out with Lisa. Oh, well, no, this is, it's actually more of like a sacrifice. A sacrifice. Oh, in that case, come on in, entree vous. Tell me more.
I love a sacrifice.
And so she's like, well, first of all, are you okay? Are you okay, Meredith? Are you okay? Let's nod together. I'm like, oh God, here we go with two bobbleheads in one room, one scene. This is going to be a lot of different nodding because Bronwyn's is like, and Meredith's is like, So she's like, so are you okay, Meredith? And Meredith is like, well, what am I worried about? Someone with a brain the size of a pea?
No,
not really. Not really. No, like, come on then.
Pea-sized brain, and by that I mean the vegetable pea, not an actual letter pea. We're still working on our letters with my toddler, so we only talk about things that get mashed up and put in his mouth. So Bronwyn says, well, I've told her so many times, Meredith, don't start stuff. And she says, Meredith overreacted again, and another example of her going 0 to 100. And I was like, well, you put yourself in that position, or rather you vented to me, and then I put you in that position, and you came to her with this. This was you. Said the one, no, when I see a woman who's filled with hate, especially if she's got a little metal funnel on her head, tin woman, #, coming after me over and over again, I'm going to respond. And she can take her own hate and shove it up her you know what, if you know what I'm saying about her what
she
you know.
Can shove that up her pee, which is not the letter P or the vegetable pea. You decide what pea I mean.
Now, Bronwyn's saying, I've told her don't start stuff, you know. She's like, you were the one who started all of this, Bronwyn, on purpose. You started a fight with Meredith and Brittany on purpose. And now she's like, I'm just trying to help Brittany. The people on this show are so fucking full of shit, and it cracks me up. Each and every one of them is so fucking funny with this. Like, I'm just trying to help her. Look at me, sweet old Bronwyn, telling her, stop starting stuff. You started it.
So Bronwyn is like, okay, well, do you want to shove something somewhere? Because I've got the unicorn. And he was like, well, what do you have in mind, my darling? Well, I don't know, Meredith. This is so weird. Is this our first conversation we've ever had together? Perhaps. Well, I feel like this is a bad idea, but I don't know.
Well, do you think that uni floats? Did you say I want to swim?
It's like, no one will ever love you like me. Love, Jared, cousin of Donny Osmond. She keeps pressing the button. Bronwyn's like, oh my God, this is so evil. Should we do it? Let's throw uni. Let's get rid of uni. Let's do it. And so they decide that they're going to put on wacky outfits, inflatable outfits, and go throw the unicorn overboard. I think this is very mean. I don't like it. I mean, I know it's housewives and, you know, they do shady stuff, but this is like someone's property. And this, you know, you're talking about Brittany. She's got the mental aptitude of a 13-year-old. And you can't just take a 13-year-old's toys and throw them overboard. That's not cool. You can't. That's personal property.
It's littering.
It's also littering. Yeah.
Okay. Like, you know, Ariel, talk about, hello, Disney princess. Ariel's right there. And like, you're throwing shit into her house. And that's just not nice. I mean, she would love it. She literally would love it. She'd be like, oh my God, it's a what's-a-called. But don't do that. It's not nice.
She's like also brushing her hair with it.
It's like, if you do,
like I said, me, Jared Osmond, cousin of Donnie.
This would ruin the little Mermaid because then she would be pining for Jared Osmond. Ariel would be his perfect wife. Just says nothing and looks pretty.
So Ariel, yeah, she can't speak. It's like his perfect one. His perfect one.
But also, if you're going to be a mean girl, don't do it in an inflatable costume. Like, you already had your inflatable costume moment, and poor Angie, you destroyed her finger. There's one point in the episode where Angie's talking and we see her bandage. There's like blood spots. It's like, it's still bleeding. It's like orange and it's like discolored. I was like, this lady needs to go to a hospital. That finger is like disintegrating.
It's infested. So there's like maggots crawling all over it. Yeah. Like, let's not do it. So Meredith is like, well, I guess I can't throw Brittany overboard, but I can throw Uni. So goodbye, Uni.
Yeah. So Meredith and Bronwyn, they're getting dressed as like a pink shark and a lobster. And Meredith is like putting on her inflatable costume. And then like sort of midway through, she's like, what am I? What am I supposed to? This isn't couture. Wow, this is the craziest thing I've ever worn. Now someone find me my bejeweled mask. Thank you.
Yeah. So they go out and they throw it overboard. Okay. They get rid of it. And we see Jared's voice. We hear Jared's voice in the water like, good night, baby. You are loved. So now it's breakfast. And you know, because Daisy's on her radio going like, all right, it's breakfast. They're all sat and need everybody up here for breakfast.
Have the croissants risen because I gotta serve them. So everyone gets to the table, and Whitney's like, everyone is quiet. Is everyone tired? And then everyone's still quiet. Okay. Meredith, how's your toe? And he's like, well, it's sore. I think I'm gonna have to see a doctor when I get back. Thanks for asking. Surprise, you're able to string together two syllables with your pea-sized brain.
But I'm a survivor. I'm not gonna give up. I'm a survivor. Keep on surviving. All right. And I'm strong. I can deal with a lot of hatred being thrown at me. So I can deal with it. Trevor Project. Love you, mean it. Call me. Can't bring me down.
Who's Trevor? Is he single? By the way, I have a hard time with hatred, actually. I have a hard time.
Well, you're filled with it, Brittany.
Well, who says I'm filled with hatred?
Well, no, we're not going to go there. Whitney, Brittany. I don't know which one of you guys is talking to me, but I've decided that right now I'm mad at Whitney. So I'm just going to rotate my chair and pay Brittany no mind.
Now, this is hilarious.
You're filled with hatred. That's like an eclair complaining about being filled with cream. No eclair hates cream.
What people don't realize about the Tin Man is that, yes, he doesn't have a brain, but he's filled with hatred. He's the most hateful character in the entire Wizard of Oz.
What were you going to say about Whitney? I was just going to say I love chocolate eclairs. Sorry.
Please, I think chocolate eclairs always get the right of way. Like, that's like, always stop everything to talk about chocolate eclairs. Somewhere in the middle of this, Meredith kind of like rotates away from Brittany because, of course, she's sitting right next to Brittany. I don't know if the producers are like assigning the seats, but they keep on sticking the two of them right next to each other the entire trip. So now Meredith is like turned away and she has her kind of back towards Brittany, and it is so funny. At this point, it's like very funny to me because this is before we get to the darkness of the flight. But like the way that she's just icing up Brittany, it is very mean, but it's also so Meredith Marsh. Like, I'm not going to acknowledge the twin that's behind me. And I was just cracking up, and Brittany's just trying to say stuff. And she's like, I can't even get through to her. This, like, the entire scene as Meredith is talking, Brittany's just sort of like in the background doing running commentary. I was like, this is
Brittany's trying to
Salt
have
Lake.
A scene too, but Meredith will not give it to her. She's just giving her back. I mean, look, I'm sorry. Yeah, it is mean, but what do you think is going to happen when you do that? I mean, this is a show. Everybody knows you bring up someone's husband is fucking somebody else, which I think it's happened to 90% of this cast by now. You're allowed to get mad and turn your back on someone. So far in the episode, I'm with you. I'm like, yay, well, ha, 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 ha.
Well, and also because Brittany is, one of Brittany's problems is that she's trying to frame it like she was doing a good deed. She's like, she's trying to do what Heather did to Lisa. She's like, no, it was a really nice thing. I brought it up so that way she could talk about it. It's like, no, Brittany, no.
Right. So yeah, she turns her back to her, and Brittany's like, well, I mean, who would even say that I'm filled with hatred? That's just ridiculous. And so Meredith is like, we're not going there. We're not going there. Okay, Whitney, Brittany, Brittany, Whitney. So she turns to Whitney. She turns on Whitney. She's like, my problem is with Whitney. With me, call Rock. It's not surprising. This little pea brain behind me, I barely know. But however, Whitney. Okay.
Can I just say one thing right now?
No, she doesn't even know how to stop talking. Just tell her to stop talking.
I'm a hater. I'm a pea brain hater. I love peas. They're a delicious legume.
But what are you mad about that I talked about it? Wait, are you mad that I talked about it?
And then we see a flashback to one day earlier where Whitney sees the TikTok with Brittany. And Meredith is like, well, the problem is that we spent the last few days as a group agreeing that and you were the one who really led the campaign, Whitney. I mean, is this a headline or is this some little troll on the internet that's like no one has ever seen? Why do the lines keep changing?
Don't throw Whitney under the bus. Don't do that. That's not nice. Don't throw her under the bus.
No, shut up. I don't even hear anybody behind me. I'm not talking to you.
Just don't throw under the bus. That's all I'm saying. Just be mad at me. That's fine. Just be mad at me. You know, it's fine. I'm just going to sit here like a princess.
But wait, you don't have to say anything, Brittany. I've got this. This is easy for me to clear up with her. Yeah, well, she doesn't even exist. My point is, you co-signed it, and you didn't tell me, and that is not what a friend does.
She did not co-sign it. I'm sorry it looks that way. I told Brittany you have three choices. First, paper. Second, plastic. Third, bring a box from home, and then you can carry it whatever... Wait, oh, about this? Okay.
Wait, I said, you have three choices. UPS drop-off center, Whole Foods, where you'll have to bring your own box and label, or pickup, which costs $6.99.
Oh, wait, no. Three choices. Grande, Tall, Venti. I guess there's Trenti's. That's four choices. Can we start over?
But... you either didn't say it, you didn't acknowledge it, or you don't acknowledge it, but either you tell Meredith or I tell Meredith. She goes, oh, so that way you were trying to do the best thing. You were trying to do the right thing to the best of your capacity. Okay, trying to play a friend to both giving her a chance to come clean on her own because she's a gossip behind my back. She goes, yeah.
The exposition all of a sudden. Yeah. She's like, I know where this is going. I'm just going to speed this up for you, Whitney.
Yeah, because I wanted to give her the chance to do the right thing. Just like Spoke Lee. You know, the TikTok was nothing, but Meredith's reaction is making it a huge thing now. She's pouring fire on the gasoline. No, she's firing fire. She's pouring gasoline on the deck. No, gasoline. You get it.
And so Brittany's like, well, but it's a double standard that anybody can say all kinds of stuff about people's husbands. And I say one thing that's meant to be in kindness. Well, first of all, no one said anything about you or your, I mean, they say things that Brittany's, that your boyfriend's a loser, but only because you tell them, like you break up with him every week. They're trying to support you. That's them being kind. But nobody's come out with any gossip about Brittany. And there's plenty. No one's come out at her about her kid or anything like that. In a mean way, at least.
Oh, well, here comes the liar. Bravo, bravo. That's actually a pun. You're welcome, everyone. So then Daisy, and because in the middle of this, Alicia like serves some dishes and she goes back downstairs. And she tells Daisy,
they're honestly so noisy. They're the loudest people I've ever met in my life. I would hate to be hungover around them.
Yeah, so back at the table, Brittany's like, this is ridiculous. You guys, this is Meredith. Ha, 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 blah, blah, blah. And she's like kind of imitating her and bumping into Meredith. And she goes, if you touch me,
Meanwhile, Meredith has flicked her hair over her shoulder into Brittany's face like five times. And Brittany does it like once. And Meredith says,
if you don't you dare touch me. Do not touch me.
So now they're pointing at each other. And she's like, you touched me. You did this to me. You're flipping hair at me. And so they're pointing at each other. And Bronwyn's like, no, 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 Brittany. No, 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 no. She's trying to stop her. And so Whitney offers to switch seats with Meredith, which is nice, and which would have been nice if this were extended later on in the episode on an airplane.
Yeah, I had my exact same thought, by the way. Like, why did no one switch seats with Brittany?
Yeah, they're like, we feel so bad for her, so we left her. You know, it's like, what the hell? So Whitney offers to switch seats. So Meredith is like, well, I think that would be a wise idea because I don't need to be near people who are filled with hate. They disgust me.
No, you're filled with hate. You can go from 0 to 100 in 0.2 seconds. Yes, I can. I can. And I don't like people who are filled with hate. Everybody at this table knows that. So Brittany is like, yeah, but like, and you, yeah, and you, only someone who's filled with hate can do that, can get really angry so quickly. And at this point, Bronwyn, who just threw out this girl's unicorn into the ocean, is now like gathering Brittany in a comforting way. Like, no, no, stop, stop, stop. She's trying to be like comforting, like a buddy. She's like, I'm trying to help you. Take a deep breath because it's going to get worse for you later in the episode. So this is nothing. Just take a deep breath.
Yeah, Bronwyn is pulling a Heather here, acting like she's just being nice to Brittany this whole time. She's like, look, I'm just trying to help you, even though I started this whole fight for you yesterday and got Meredith on you. But she's acting like Brittany's the one doing too much. Brittany is not the one doing too much. Meredith is the one doing too much. Why is Meredith allowed to yell and scream and call people stupid? But then you say anything back to it and it's like, no, 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 no. You're just going to make her more upset.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Bronwyn's like, I'm trying to tell her to start with an apology. Well, I am done with her. And you guys want to support her? Then I'll be done with you too. And Heather goes, are you fucking kidding me? In this sisterhood, you would say that? Yeah, well, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Yes, yes. You can't just say, yeah, no, I'm not. Because those are contradictory words, Heather, Meredith. I can't even say my name properly. This is absurd. This is not fourth grade. This is not a dodgeball team. This is a sisterhood of people who are surviving Mormonism. And for Meredith to be okay and to move from Lisa digging up dirt about her family, she can apply the same spirit of resolution to her conflict with Brittany. Or alternatively, she can get mad at Lisa like the rest of us can, because we're doing the hard work in the trenches right now.
Okay, Heather, so this is not a dodgeball team. So she's mad because she's saying, if you're going to be friends with her, I'm not going to be friends with you. Well, first of all, Heather does this all the time. She does it with people. She's doing it with Monica currently, which I'm sure Monica could be like, you know, with that, she could be like, she stalked us. She blah, blah, you know, what she goes off on. But she was also like that with us. Like, you better not nominate her for a thing or whatever. So you're kind of a hypocrite. And then for her to say Meredith is okay that Lisa dug up dirt about her family. What dirt? That was never proven. This is another Heather. That was never proven that she said she dug dirt up on Meredith. Where do we have proof? And what is the dirt then, if there's dirt? So I don't like that being thrown in there into evidence, because that's totally unproven. And it's just another case of Heather saying something over and over until people believe it. Right. So then Angie's like, well, I'm not supporting what she did, but I need to remind everyone. And Meredith's like, well, because we spent 2 days saying we're not doing that, didn't we? We just said we're not going to go on tiki-talki and bring up things about people's husbands. And then she's doing it. So you're all fine with that? Then you're all fine with it.
No, I just meant to say we need to remind someone to find a doctor for me. I think I have developed gangrene in my finger, or as we call it, gangrease.
Of course we don't support her showing us a TikTok. You know, Angie's dying of gangrene. No one cares. I just wanted to acknowledge that you said gangrene because that was actually hysterical.
Angie's like, well, we can't support gout dick. And Meredith is like, well, break the cycle.
And you know what? This one leads a bad example. And please stop singing K-pop Demon Hunters on TikTok. It's extremely disturbing to my ears.
Have you seen that? Brittany being like,
because we're golden and in the sunlight, we are golden.
I'm like, you know, sort of like Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
We're going up, up, up to the yacht, 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 looking for you, me.
So Heather is
Save it, Miss Saigon. I don't want to hear your K-pop demon hunters crap. Keep it to yourself.
Heather, I disagree. I love listening to her sing her semi like faux opera, semi show tune.
Because we're golden.
So are we just going to throw Britney overboard? I am. I will gladly do that. Well, I'm a good swimmer, so throw me overboard. It's hot in here. Brahman's like, Mary, can you say something as like a mother or a woman of God here? Can you fix this, please? And she's like, They're not going to listen. They're not going to listen to God. They're not going to listen to anyone. If God came down and smacked them in their face, they wouldn't even snap out of it. They're so busy trying to get their point across. And it's a disaster. It's just a disaster. No.
Okay, well, while you guys take a break in fighting, I'm going to go change and get packed so we can get off the boat. And Whitney's like, I love my friends.
So they all go change, and Brittany is looking around her room packing, and she's like, where's my unicorn? Where is it?
I know. I feel just bad for Brittany's daughter because I feel like Brittany seemed to show more emotion about trying to find her unicorn than finding her daughter. So Angie is like, she's telling the deckhand, she's like, I'm going to miss your legs. Remember when I clutched onto them and puked all over them? That was hilarious. And then Bronwyn is like, the best part about leaving this vacation is the knowledge of knowing I won't be traveling with these women because I changed my original flight and didn't fly with them. And I had to rebook everything, including my flights home. So I picked one where I'd be solo. So it's almost like I knew I'd be sick of them at this point in time. But you know what the irony is? I wonder if she had stayed on her flight, if she would have been seated next to Brittany and could have saved her, since apparently no one else was willing to do that.
Yeah. And also, if you cancel one flight, you don't cancel both flights. I don't understand why she would have had to rebook her flight. Is that something that happens?
I don't know. It may be the round trip. I don't know. Sometimes things are weird. It's like, you know, if you have a layover, like if you cancel the first leg, or if you miss the first leg, you lose all both legs, even if you could take another flight to catch up with the second leg. You know, guys.
I don't know. It sounded like an excuse to me, but I was like, I would do it too. You know?
Yeah,
it
I actually chuckled. Like mayhem. Yeah. I don't know why I chuckled. When she said that, I chuckled like, ha, 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 that's so true. I was like, speak the truth, sister. And I drank some more red wine.
Some more red wine? Were you really sitting there drinking red wine?
No, I felt like I was in Cougar Town watching the TV, being like, oh, that's so true. I love that. But first coffee, am I right?
So now it's the goodbye section of Below Deck. Everyone's saying bye. Meredith gives Jason her hat. And so basically, thanks, Sam, whatever, they leave the tip. So then Heather gives her speech and she's like, guys, this has been so amazing, being around so many people on our journey of sisterhood. They're like, oh God, the boat's pulling away. Because we're sisters.
And she's like, and you know what? I do want to apologize on behalf of my friends. So there, Christina Applegate, are you happy? Are you happy? She apologized. Can we all move
Christina
on?
Christina Applegate is at home like, I told those bitches.
She's also having a Cougar Town moment. She's also drinking her red wine. She's like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now Brittany is like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Daisy's like, oh, I forgot something. Everybody stop. Stop. Don't get onto your bus. I've got something inside for you. So she runs inside and she comes back out holding the unicorn. And Brittany's like, wait a minute. I thought that was gone. I thought it was lost. Wait a minute. Why is this wet? And she's like, well, it was in the water. We found it in the water.
I was sort of hoping that Daisy would be like, I forgot something. Hold on. And she just comes out wheeling out Gary like Hannibal Lecter in a straitjacket. I've been in Bravo jail, but I'm back. Father Beans.
Father Beans.
But Brittany looks genuinely crestfallen. I'm not going to lie. The unicorn was so stupid, but when she gets in, she realizes it's wet and that they threw it in the water. There's something about like her face drops a lot on the show, but the way it dropped this time was like a weird, I felt like I saw her as a child and I don't know, like my heart kind of broke for her in this moment. I was like, yes, this was all kind of like, you know, it was a little produced, like, okay, everyone like have Brittany bring a unicorn on the boat and then you guys throw it out like later. But there was something where I feel like she just, She realized she was the butt of like a big joke. And I don't know, I felt bad for her.
I mean, I wouldn't say my heart broke for her, but yeah, I feel kind of bad for Brittany, but you know, she starts it too. She just starts these wrong fights with these people. And
I don't know.
You know, if you're going to go against, I have to compare it to kind of Angie, because you know, Angie was in the same position when she came on. Nobody gave her any mind. They all made fun of her. They all treated her like a big joke. Meredith especially wouldn't speak to her. She was doing the same thing she's doing to Brittany now, where she was turning her back on her. And you know, she was just treating her like shit and mean girling her really hard. And Angie,
I thought you were going to say how Jen Shah literally threw her shoes in the water off of the boat as well.
She did that as well. Yeah, I mostly edit Jen out of my memory as much as I can because she always made me crazy. But but Meredith was really particularly mean to Angie. But then didn't Angie start some stuff with Meredith about Meredith's husband cheating? I don't even remember
Angie came in hot on Meredith. But by the way, I felt bad for Angie when it happened to Angie on that episode too. I felt even worse when Jen Shah, like, you know, poured a glass of champagne on Angie's head just to humiliate her because she needed to fill some dead air. And now that we all know and love Angie K, it's actually even more horrifying because we know who Angie K is.
It's horrifying. Meaning
that like as an audience, it's horrifying.
Horrible.
Horrifying. I love me Meredith Marks. One of my favorite housewives of all time. I know you're not saying that. And I think that Brittany is one of the biggest dingbats of all time. But regardless of those feelings, I just felt really bad. I thought the unicorn was so stupid.
Well, I guess my point is she was doing this. We've seen Meredith do this before, right? So we've seen her do it to Angie, and Angie's way of dealing with it kind of made her a star of the show. Angie was like, no, fuck you. And she would come up right behind her and still yell right behind her and then try and get in her face again and then call her a trampoline with eyes. And then like she was not taking it. And she really stood up and she was really strong and made her season. You know, I mean, that made her a housewife. That all of this bullying was terrible that Meredith did. But then it also turned Angie into like a bona fide housewife. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm only comparing that because how Brittany's dealing with it is just not going to work. You know, she's really got to stand up to Meredith. Now, Brittany did start it just like I think Angie started it. But if you're going to start it and you're going to go up against the big dogs, you have to.
Yeah,
I'm not going to feel bad for you. You know what I mean? It's a sport. So I'm not going to sit here on the sidelines and cry for you. This is a sport. You were the one who started this play. And if you can't finish the play, get the fuck off the field. You started it.
I agree. I think that Brittany is very inept as a fight starter because she sort of starts them and she doesn't really know how, like she's not ready to go to war. She kind of like, she casts the first stone, but then she's really bad at like holding her own. And that's sort of been kind of her charm and everything. But you really see here, like she doesn't have what it takes to really get in the mix. And that's why she is basically, I think, a friend of. Her role as a friend of is good. Like that's her lane. But like you said, Angie, attack dog comes out. Not calling women dogs. I'm just using the metaphor of like, you know, or mama bear. Mama bear is a better phrase for it. But Brittany just sort of crumbles. But like it's her inability to actually do what Angie was able to do or other people have been able to do, which actually makes my heart break for her a little bit. She's just like, she's so limited. And I feel bad for her because of that.
She's limited. But yeah, you know, it's not, and I'm not talking even at the plane yet, because we're not even there yet. But at this point, I'm just like, Brittany, girl, if you can't. You know, I think throwing the unicorn overboard was too much. And I do think Meredith is taking this all and always does take it way too far. But don't start it. Don't start it with the big people if you can't take it, Brittany. You know, don't do it. So anyway, so they go off the boat and Brittany is now upset because someone threw the unicorn over. So she's like, you guys, who threw this over? Who would do this? And Bron was just kind of slinking back, you know, like,
she realizes that this is not landing well. She's like, it was a joke. Mm-hmm. You weren't part of the joke, but it was a joke for us. And Like, and Meryl's, well, I was with Bronwyn. She's like, you were with Bronwyn? Yeah, Uni wanted to swim. And, you know, you got Tanner and makeup all over him. And you need a little dip in the ocean. That's it. I'm doubling down on the joke. Okay, it's called yes-anding myself. And Bronwyn's
Yeah, I was supposed to just be a joke that made you laugh. I mean, you didn't know about it. And you never saw the unicorn. You never found it. So you couldn't laugh at it. But it was still a joke. We thought you'd laugh at it. Thought you'd think it's hilarious.
I just think it's really cruel, she tells us. I just think it's really cruel for someone to try to ruin my gift. I mean, Jared went to great lengths and made a personal message. And then at this point, I was like, okay, Brittany, you know, you had my sympathy, but like, this is where she always loses me because she just always feeds us some line of bullshit right afterwards. Like, and she listen, did not go to great lengths.
You got, of course, there's part of me that's just heartless. I mean, that's the biggest part of me, let's face it. But the heartless part of me, was just watching this thinking, well, you know, that unicorn knows how your kid feels. So fuck off, you know, because there's part of me that's like not going to be OK with Brittany because of that shit with her kid. Like, I'm just not OK with it. I'm not going to feel bad. And I'm so sorry for your unicorn. But now you know how your fucking kid feels. And there. Yeah. So there.
Kind of. Yeah. So
Meryl, she's like, but he likes steamers. The Uni likes steamers. How could you do this to Uni? You remember liking steamers, don't you?
I can never sleep without you again, my darling. This is Jared Osmond, cousin of Donnie.
Your steamer is loved. I am a soldier of love. That's a, by the way, that song is a banger. I feel like there's young people in this world. I feel like probably millennials, but especially Gen Z, who don't know that Donnie Osmond in 1988 or 89 released a true banger of a song called Soldier of Love. And if you don't know it, you should look it up. And make it a thing on TikTok because it is a great song. It is really great. It holds up to this day.
Yeah. Yeah. Donny Osmond. I mean, listen, Donny Osmond's a fucking hero. And anybody who doesn't believe it needs to think about this.
It was red and yellow and green and brown and scarlet and black and ochre and peach and ruby and violet and russet and fawn and lilac and gold and chocolate and mauve and green and... Oh, darn it. Oh my God, did I forget the colors of the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat? No.
Go, 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 Ronnie, you know what they say. Go, 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 Ronnie, you'll make it someday. You and your lyrics be reunited at once. This is just a moment, you'll get it again.
It was red and yellow and green and brown and scarlet. Oh my God, green and yellow. No, it was red and yellow and green and brown and scarlet and gold and russet and gray and... Oh my Reza? God. I'm not even a gay person anymore. Do I like vaginas now? I might.
But we're going to Vegas, so you can experiment. That's also the musical that has a song. There are not a lot of songs about Benz. There's a Michael Jackson song. So I appreciate having the pedigree of Michael Jackson, but it's a song about a rat. But we do have a song in Joseph that's about a Ben. And I appreciate that. That's like my one song that I have. Oh no.
Yeah.
Not he.
How's it go?
She goes, oh no, it's a Calypso song. Not he.
Oh yeah.
Benjamin. They're like trying. It's like all the brothers are being like, no, Benjamin's good. Don't get mad at Benjamin. He didn't do this.
No, I didn't know that's what that song was about. I don't remember. But now I'm going to put it on my playlist. I'm going to jam to it.
Yeah, jam to it. I saw the Michael Damian version on Broadway. So I didn't quite have a Donny Osmond, but I do feel like I got it. Pretty big icon. Anyway,
it's a pretty good one.
so ominous music.
Anyway, I'm Meredith like is like, singing. Well, it was Bronwyn's idea. So Brittany's upset and walks away. So now it's ominous music, and we start getting the true crime Dateline music. Like, it was a town. A town that everybody loved. The most peaceful town in America. The sweetest couple you ever saw. Everyone knew they were meant to be together the minute they saw them at the dance in high school. And then, like, 30 minutes later, he was beating her the whole time and then murdered her.
It's like, okay, you're misleading. You're misleading me, Dateline person.
I was so surprised. The screen faded to black, and then all of a sudden I saw green and pink, and I heard Meredith Marks singing, no good deed goes unpunished. Winking for good in theaters in 10 days. toddler for good. Happening right now.
Kind of funny how they tied this all in, because Brittany's whole thing was like, I only brought that up because I was doing Wicked for Good.
She was. So,
and that unicorn defied gravity. I mean, just a lot's going on.
So much. So much. No one mourns the stuffed animal in the ocean.
And so, also, she couldn't be, you know, Britney is having trouble with being popular. So you want to be popular. It's actually kind of all fitting into the musical.
She is essentially Elphaba. Oh, wow.
Angie's fingers turning green. You guys,
literally,
this episode is actually really on track. Yes, it's wicked. Yes.
So we get a classic Housewives trope, which is cameras are down and everyone has to say what happened. I thought this one was riveting, personally. Sometimes these aren't so good. Sometimes it's like, so we got into the production vans and she was drunk and she passed out and we got back to the hotel and we had to put her in her room and that was it. And you're like, oh, really? That's all. But this one was like, okay, before we even got on the plane, Meredith was completely out of her mind at the airport. I'm just imagining Meredith going into a Hudson News and knocking over a display of magazines. I'll tell you, you want to say print media is dead? Now it's dead. And she stomped on it, Entertainment Weekly.
Why do I still have to care about Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt?
That's me in a Hudson News. I'm like, why are you still on the covers? Why?
Is there nothing to eat here beyond a brioche doré or an Obama pan? Come on, Nevis.
We're not even in Nevis.
Well, we were all uncomfortable. She was yelling and screaming and crying because Britney talked about her marriage and she was making a scene at the airport. And I don't even know that she was aware of that. Okay. Well, sounds like Meredith so far.
Mm-hmm. And Britney says, well, I was the last one on the plane in our group. And where's my seat? Literally right in front of Lisa and Meredith. So then we
ready
hear
a for departure. And then like a wind chime in the back. The sound effects were hilarious. It's like, wow, a wind chime. And like a...
they need to play the video of Yolanda. They need to have the video of Yolanda coming out as a flight attendant singing that song. Remember when she did that video?
The classic song, Does Jiggy Is Dead?
The dream team. So then we see the screen goes black and then we're seeing text messages and Meredith texts Heather, I am livid. And Heather goes, what happened now? Hashtag sisterhood. So I slipped off into sleep and I was, because that's what sisterhoods do. We go to sleep when there's clearly a problem going on in the sisterhood. And I was awoken by Meredith raging and making a scene and she was just unhinged. I'm like, in retrospect, why did you at this point not intervene? If you are so much like the steward of this sisterhood, why did you not mollify this?
My first question when she said this line was, where are the stewardesses? You can't just have a fit. They'll tase you. They'll throw you off the plane. I mean, I have TikTok too. I see these are my favorite scenes on TikTok. Well, I love fights in like Waffle Houses or things like that, like public restaurant fights where everybody just brawls. I love those. Yeah, and I also love Karens on the plane who get kicked off of the plane. So I was like, wait, she was raging? Because also you have to remember this is Heather speaking and Heather is always trying to make everything bigger than it is and blah, blah, blah. And I don't believe it unless I see proof. So I slipped off into sleep. Okay, so you were asleep. That's the first thing in evidence. But I was awoken by Meredith raging. Okay. So Mary says, Meredith started reliving what Britney said, started getting upset, started going off, and she dwelled on it, and she could not come back from it. I believe that 100%. So then we see texts from Whitney that say, Meredith is behind her taunting her. She's fucking unhinged. I believe this too. She was calling Britney names. She was talking loud about Britney so that the entire first class could hear. I believe that.
I do have a hearing problem. Are you going to make fun of my ears?
And yes. Well, that is true, though. So if she's talking loud, she does have a hearing aid, etc. So you could say that. But here's my thing. She's already been doing this the entire episode. So we already know Meredith is doing this. So I'm like, so basically it's a continuation of what she's been doing.
It's hard because this is a cast of unreliable narrators across the board.
Thank you.
Britney is, she says, I mean, someone grabbed my seat and shook it like boom, 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 and wine splashed and hair pulled. And I'm just like, I'm taking information because Brittany is one to embellish. Like, I would not be surprised. And this, I'm just saying from a perspective, like, I'm not saying this is necessarily my perspective. I would not be surprised if Meredith gets up and holds on the chair and some of her hand like catches Brittany's hair. She's like, you pulled my hair. I also would not be surprised if Meredith does shake the chair and grabs some of the hair. Like, I don't really know what to believe, honestly. And I'm just like listening to all these stories and I'm like, this is crazy.
It's so crazy. I can believe that Meredith stood up to go to the bathroom. And you know, when you grab onto the chair in front of you, which you don't really have to do in first class.
You literally never have to do it. Really anywhere. But I'm going to say anywhere. If, you don't have to do it.
If, and this is not just to make excuses for Meredith or whatever. I don't need to make excuses for Meredith. I think she's acted like an asshole this whole episode, as I've said over and over. But the way the other ladies are telling it is so over the top that I believe if Meredith was literally screaming and yelling and pulling someone's hair, she would have been kicked off the plane or at least told to stop it. Someone would have done something. I don't believe. I think if she got up behind her and grabbed her seat, she probably did do that a little bit. You know,
she probably was like, oh, like, I'm going to give this bitch a little jostle for sure. I'm with you on this in the sense that like it's shocking to me that there was no intervention. But I don't know. Is it different with business class? Is it different because they're celebrities and maybe the flight attendants are like, but we do hear stories of celebrities getting into trouble on airplanes. I think Alec Baldwin, shocker, got into trouble on an airplane at one point. Like this does happen. So it is surprising. But at the same time, I also, as unreliable as these women are as narrators, there's too many stories that add up. And the women seem genuinely rattled by it in a way that makes me say, but like, there must be a truth that's in between here somewhere. Like something not cool definitely happened. Something not cool.
I think Meredith has been, I think Meredith went on that plane and acted exactly like she was acting on the boat, which is turning her back to her, talking about her like she's not there, but being mean, you know, saying like, this woman's an idiot and this woman's a this and this woman's a that. Oh, she's got proof now. I think she was doing it. We just saw her do it on the boat. So to me, it's the same behavior she had on the boat that she has on the plane, but now they're acting like, oh my God, how could she act like that? What are you talking about? And Heather just chased someone down on the boat, screaming and yelling, trashed off of her face, screaming at them, you did this, just admit it. And to a sobbing person who's like, I didn't do it. What are you, stop trying to make me admit something I didn't do. And Heather's chasing her off all over the boat while she's screaming, calling her a bitch and all this stuff. But now Heather's like, someone acted like that? I'm like, have you seen yourself on TV? You acted like that for 2 days straight. What are you talking about? So that's what gets me mad. It's like the hypocrisy of it. But yeah, I do think Meredith was probably a huge asshole to her. But my questions are, why, if she was being so bad, A, why didn't anybody say anything to her on the plane? B, why didn't anybody, because Heather said on Watch What Happens that it was all production in first class. How did nobody record this? Because the first thing your ass is going to do is start recording someone acting crazy. And especially Brittany, because we already know that she's a recorder and she's always saying, oh, haha, you know me, the filmmaker or whatever. So she would have recorded it or someone in production would have recorded it.
I would think they probably did record it and they would be like, you know what? Well, they would just said, you know what? It's probably better if we just like make the listeners try to imagine what it was rather than show it, because it probably wasn't quite as exciting on camera, but it definitely is not innocent either. And like, you know what, let's leave it to the imagination. And and now we're all here in a tizzy of like what really happened. You're right,
they're smart, you know? Like that. And maybe they'll pull it out at reunion and be like, oh, unseen footage.
It'd be like, it'll be a four-part reunion, but honestly one part is just gonna be dedicated to the Bronwyn and Whitney conversation coming up. Well, so you guys like extra dick? Okay, one extra episode of reunion. So Whitney is like,
they wanted my phone. They wanted to know if I had TikTok on my phone. They wanted to know. They wanted to see Britney's phone. They wanted everyone's phones to see the TikTok.
She's acting like it was an authoritarian government board of the plane and was like gathering people's phones for inspection. And Lisa's like, Britney was like right in front of me and I grabbed the armrest and I said, Britney, just give her the fucking TikTok. That's it. And then I sat back. Why does that feel like you're sort of breezing over some of the finer details of that confrontation?
Yeah, because you know Lisa was like, oh, yeah, you have the TikTok? Then show it, stupid. Show it, you fucking liar. Yeah, do it.
Yeah, you got it. Show it.
Shaking the seats. I mean, look, I can imagine that those two were being monsters.
I think that Lisa is actually pretty shitty in this situation because my first thought in this was Brittany was the only person to really stand up aggressively for Lisa at the beginning of the season when they were all talking about her cases. And the fact that Lisa was not able to defuse this and the fact that she wasn't able to say to Meredith, you know what? Let's deal with this when we land. Like, it's okay. I love you both. Like, let's just table this and like have, like, she wasn't able to do that. And she claims that she was trying to. And maybe now she can have some better perspective of what it's like for people to deal with her when she starts losing her mind. But of course she won't. But I think it was, I think it sounds like Lisa failed Brittany here.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, when you're best friends with somebody, it's like now you're in the position, like, are you going to stand up for me? This woman just said that my husband was cheating in an Uber. So who, she brought that on camera. So who are you going to stand up for? So I don't know. I mean,
well, you just say, but I am standing up for you, but like, let's not have this fight on an airplane. Okay. This is not the time or the place. Let's just relax.
Well, I think Meredith was also extremely fucked up because Meredith has said before that she takes drugs to go on international flights, right? Whenever they say, do you ever take drugs? She says, only when I'm on international flights. So you know that she is on something. She's drinking because we know it's also in evidence that wine was spilled on Brittany when the chair was shaking. So we know she's drinking and probably on some kind of benzo or whatever.
I thought that might have been Brittany's wine. Oh, she doesn't drink. Well, she sort of drinks.
No, she drinks. But yeah, she orders wine in the next scene. But yeah, I think that Meredith was probably really fucked up. And that's the air that Mary is giving her. Like, girl, like, I don't think you remember. And she's saying, like, I think you're so fucked up at this point that you're not remembering what's happening. And that's the problem. And so I think that's kind of what they're calling out with Meredith without going all. They don't want her to go Dorinda on her on their asses. So they're not saying you're an alcoholic or you've got a drug problem or anything. But I think that that's what they're saying. Right.
100% is what they're saying. And we see some text messages from the flight. And Whitney is texting Heather and she's saying, like, they've been taunting Brittany the entire flight. And Heather's like, they are being very mad. And Whitney goes, I don't want to fly with these bitches. But again, they don't do anything about it. So Meredith tells us, well, what happened is very simple. I vented to Lisa about Brittany and I never engaged with Brittany. Let me be very clear. I never spoke to Brittany. I never touched Brittany. There was nothing. She goes, I just started bawling. Actually, I just couldn't take it anymore. I've never been treated like that in my life. Well, except for Jared, but he's allowed. So Meredith is like, as we were landing and Lisa woke up, I talked to her for about, I don't know, probably 10 more minutes, 10 minutes, maybe 15, maybe 4 hours. It's hard to say, but pretty much 10 minutes. And just like, when we landed, I turned around and Brittany just melted into a puddle of tears. And then I looked at my finger, which had just melted into a puddle of green goo.
Well, I wasn't screaming.
Oh, but it was horrible. I felt so humiliated.
Well, it wasn't physical. And then we hear voiceover echoes, a wind chime, a horn honk, a siren in the background. And Whitney's like, Meredith is completely unhinged. And Mary says, yeah, it was constant. And Heather's saying it was an awful scene. Annihilating way too far.
So, yeah, I think that Meredith and Lisa were probably being jerks. I don't know if it was to the point of screaming and yelling and pulling someone's hair and stuff. And I just don't know because it's Whitney and Heather for the most part. And Mary was sleeping most of the time with headphones. And so was Heather. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Meredith goes, well, obviously it wasn't that deep or I would have been arrested by an air marshal.
Congratulations. You've reached the end of part one of a 2-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber Way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K sirrah sirrah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
We're obsessed all with Tessa V.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.